Shalom, welcome to Torah Bites. This is Torah Bites for the week of December the 10th, 2016, the 10th of Kislev, 5777. This week's message is entitled, Messy Families, and I'm reading from Bereshit, Genesis chapter 30, verses 22 and 23. Then God remembered Rachel, and God listened to her and opened her womb. She conceived and bore a son and said, God has taken away my reproach. Jacob's family was blessed by God. It was also a mess. First, he grew up with tension between himself and his twin brother. There was a prophecy hanging over the two of them. Contrary to custom, he would rise to supremacy even though his brother Esau was born first. He was a mama's boy, homebody type, while his dad preferred his macho brother. Jacob was shrewd with his eye on the future. Esau lived in the moment and by his stomach. After stealing his father's big-time blessing from his brother, he ran from Esau's murderous threats to their mom's relatives in Mesopotamia, where he worked for her brother Laban. Uncle Laban was similar in some ways to Jacob, which helped set the stage for his own messy family-to-be. Jacob's beginnings with Laban's household look a bit like a Harlequin romance. Instantly falling in love with Rachel, the younger of Laban's two daughters, he agrees to work for his uncle 7 years that, quote, seemed to him but a few days because of the love he had for her, end of quote. Talk about heartwarming, that is, until Uncle Laban does the most unbelievable switcheroo in history by substituting his older daughter Leah in place of Rachel. How in the world did Jacob not realize? She was probably veiled for most of the time, which led to the Jewish tradition of unveiling the bride at the beginning of the wedding ceremony. We're certainly not going to fall for that one again. Also, the world was a lot darker at nighttime than it is today, and if alcohol had a part to play, I wouldn't be surprised. But true to form, for both these two, they cut another deal whereby Jacob would also get Rachel immediately for another 7 years' labor. Not a good arrangement. No wonder that years later God would command Israel through Moses not to marry a woman and her sister. God tolerated for a time the substandard custom of polygamy, but not when the women were sisters, as in Jacob's case. And to think that Jacob didn't want Leah in the first place, what a mess. So-called normal family life is difficult enough without an arrangement like this. For the next 20 years or so, competition ensued between the two sisters with regard to child-rearing. After Leah had 4 children, Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah, and Rachel none, Rachel resorted to surrogacy. If you think surrogacy is a modern invention, you haven't read the Bible. And this wasn't the first time either. Jacob's grandmother Sarah suggested a surrogate situation to her husband Abraham. Again, quote, behold now, the Lord has prevented me from bearing children. Go into my servant, it may be that I shall obtain children by her, end quote. In the worldview of their day, the child born via the wife's maidservant would be regarded as if it were her own. So Rachel had 2 children through surrogacy, Dan and Naphtali. Then Leah, who stopped having children herself for a time, had 2 more through her maidservant, Gad and Asher, before having 3 more herself, Issachar, Zebulun, and Dinah. And then finally, Rachel had 2 of her own, Joseph and Benjamin, tragically dying immediately after Benjamin's birth. All the way through this, the two sisters wrongly thought they could win their husband's love or rid themselves of shame through the having of children. Isn't this all ridiculous? But isn't it also common? Perhaps not exactly this sort of situation, even though with the changes in various jurisdictions regarding the definition of the family, we might see this exact scenario again. And yet, the messy family didn't undermine God's plans and purposes. It's wild that it ended up being son number 11, Joseph, who would be the one to save the day for the whole clan. Besides this being a crazy way to build a family, the competitive atmosphere helped fuel the discord that resulted in Joseph being jettisoned to Egypt, which in the long run was best for everyone. Now don't get me wrong, the good that arose from the soil of family dysfunction in no way justifies any of it, but it does give us hope. If God can work powerfully in and through Jacob's messy family, he could do the same with ours. Torah Bites is located on the web at www.torahbites.org. Comments may be sent to info@torahbites.org. You can follow us on Twitter @TorahBites. Until next time, this is Alan Gilman for Torah Bites. Lehitraot.